Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
I'm not going to do this. It's time to hear more at the Brands and Marketers track. You're watching the Innovation Zone at Advertising Week Europe. Put your hands together and welcome our next session to the stage.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. My name is David Muldoon. I'm with MediaLink. I lead marketing transformation for MediaLink in the UK and Europe. For those who don't know, MediaLink is a strategic advisory firm that specializes in driving growth for our clients across marketing, media, technology, and especially retail media. Our topic for today's session is, are we all media owners? With the proliferation of new retail media networks, financial media networks such as Chase Media Solutions, and basically anyone with first-party data or a site that gets clicked on, everyone can pretty much identify as a media owner now. So just talking from personal experience to start, so my own personal journey with retail media started 10 years ago when I led the partnership marketing team at Boots to help brands like P&G and L'Oreal launch new products and reach new audiences. Even 10 years ago, before it was called retail media, you could see the potential that this offered. So I have the pleasure today of introducing friends and panelists, and I'm going to start with Tash.
Is that morning or afternoon? Afternoon. Good afternoon, definitely. Everybody.
Just.
Absolutely delighted to be here. My name's Tash Whitmey. A little bit about me. I spent the first 23 years of my career on the agency side, working for Havas. During that time, worked on the media side, the creative side, but always the connection to data and the value of data, particularly first-party data. Been at Tesco for 6 years. And 6 months and 3 days and 5 minutes and a few seconds. The first 6 years standing over the transformation of Clubcard, so growing Clubcard from 14 million active customers to 22 million and growing digitization of the scheme from 1.5 million to 16 million. So that kind of is the reason that I've moved into my new role. So new role started in December last year, keep saying 6 weeks, but it's not. It's 6 months, bringing together the teams at Tesco and Dunnhumby in one organisation called Tesco Media to really kind of spearhead our ambitions in that space. Not a huge amount of experience in retail media, a lot of experience on how you build solutions that are brilliant for customers.
Adam?
Thank you. Well, nice to meet you all, and thanks very much for having me. So I'm Adam. I work for Deliveroo. I sometimes feel like I then start explaining what Deliveroo is. I don't think who's used Deliveroo recently? Good. Okay. I can see some Deliveroo people putting their hands up. That's good. I'm the global marketing and products officer for Deliveroo. I've been there for about 3 years. So my remit, it's got a couple of kind of threads to it. On the one side, I look after our overall brand and our experience, and we're very much trying to make sure that our product absolutely connects with how we think about our overall proposition and our brand. So, you know, that involves a lot of work across our creative studio with some of our partners, but also our products and technology teams as well. As part of that role, you'll have seen, I hope, that a couple of years ago we launched kind of all in on a retail media network ourselves as well, with our restaurant partners, with CPG brands and agencies, and increasingly through some other verticals, which I'm sure we'll talk through. My background, so I started my career at P&G and worked there for 13 and a bit years, and then had it was about 5 year kind of sojourn in TV working for BBC Studios as well. But looking forward to today's discussion. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Kim?
And then me at the end. Hi, everybody. So my name's Kim Ludlow. I head up the EMEA division for retail media, which sits in Microsoft Advertising. I've been with Microsoft for 16 months, still fairly new. I still feel as if I've only just started. It's a huge organization to get your head around. But I think from my point of view, and kind of hopefully what I can bring today is talking about retail media and the experience that I've got, and the experiences that I've gone through and I've seen firsthand, you know, some good, some bad. My background has been in advertising for years and years and years. I was lucky enough to be, I consider myself lucky enough because I've landed kind of like opportunities to be first in certain industries. So I was the first team in Tesco Media when it was sitting in Tesco. And this was like 27 years ago. So yeah, quite a long time ago, but it's interesting to see kind of like the evolution that retail media has moved into. And I think from a Microsoft point of view, I think a lot of people in the room will be going, I didn't even know that Microsoft worked in retail media. We're fairly new in this space. And I would say certainly over the last 2 years, we've really brought it into the market, into EMEA. We're already working with a number of retailers in Germany, Switzerland, and the UK, and looking to grow that. But I think, you know, as we'll discuss shortly, you know, this is a fast-moving environment, and retail media, you know, from my point of view, it's not a new thing. It's just changing the way that we work and can support brands and agencies.
Thank you all. So I'm sure you can see here that we've got a huge amount of experience in the room that we look forward to hearing from. So we're going to start with a question, as you would expect, about retail media networks. So we've all seen Google's announcement about another self-imposed delay to third-party cookies, and we've all recognised the power of first-party data. So I'd love to start with Tash. How are you viewing this opportunity? And then we'll get everybody's thoughts.
Well, I think regardless of the Google decision, it's quite clear that when you look at the kind of changes in privacy rules, changes in browsers, that the direction of travel is going to be the demise of the third-party cookie at some point. I think we spend quite a lot of our time thinking about when that's going to happen and when it's not going to happen most recently. And actually, the whole digital advertising industry is being built on the ability to target customers directly when they're in digital environments, to then kind of track them through websites, to then be able to kind of measure and attribute, do things like frequency capping. And like, that is going to go away at some point. And so that is going to make organizations that have the privilege of first party data in a really strong place. And so for us personally, I think, you know, we've got, and I can speak with absolute clarity and conviction on this, like 22 million customers, 27 years worth of day in, day out shopping behavior at a really granular level. Many, many of whom have consented. And that's going to be really important as we look to the future, is consent, not just having first party data. And so we've always used the club card data in our retail media offering to build audiences, to analyze customer shopping behavior, to be able to work with our brands to say, like, if we build you an audience, we are going to be talking to the right people mm-hmm. about things that they want us to talk about in the right moment. And then we're going to be able to analyze not just kind of a digital attribution, but also what they bought and what they continue to buy. And so I guess, like, because we want to be helpful in the room, I'm sure there are many of you that are thinking, God, what are we going to do when the third party cookie goes? It's you either work with an organization that's got the luxury and the privilege of first party data, or we've got to start collecting it. But consent for me is the absolute kind of prime point of difference in this space.
And I guess consumers seeing the benefit of that consent as well.
Absolutely. You know, and you, like, when we think about it, we always think customer first, advertiser second, Tesco third. And I think in this retail media space, everybody talks about the gold rush and the rush to get money, but that's the outcome. It's not the reason. The reason to do it is to provide immersive experiences that customers are going to find engaging, and then they're going to buy more of the products. Mm-hmm. The money's the outcome, mm-hmm. not the reason to do it. So,
So Adam, obviously, mm-hmm. Deliveroo is pretty new to this game, kind of. So there is huge, you would assume, huge opportunities for you. So how are you viewing this?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying. Clearly, there's a kind of two ways you can look at it, right? There's a quite a functional way to look at this and say, okay, there's a, you know, a swathe of data that we've got that helps us get, you know, kind of good inference on consumer behavior, that helps us, you know, deliver some deep insight to our advertising partners and help kind of connect the two. If I kind of put my other hat on in my role, I often think I kind of take a step back from it and say, well, what's Deliveroo actually trying to do as a platform, as a business? And for me, I think of us as being a moments business. You know, we're in the business of moments. And if I think of our positioning, what we're trying to do is enhance a moment for our consumers, whatever that moment is. So to bring that to life, that might be how do you make a date night extra special? How do you help a family who are trying to play a board game but equally need to do a mid-sized shop to top the fridge up, stay focused on the board game and having a great time? Might be how do you help a friend celebrate a promotion, that kind of thing, and send them something in the moment. And the bit which we have to figure out, I think, is how you connect that data with those moments and play the advertisers in. And I think that's the bit which we keep coming back to, is we can get really caught on some of the function of what we're doing, but actually just taking a step back and thinking, okay, how do you do something that's native but seamless for an advertiser, for them to play in? And in our case, we see that as these moments where we can help our advertisers connect in that point. I do think what you're saying is totally a point which sometimes gets missed though as well, is the sustainability of the growth in this area. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, that sustainability is only going to come in a world where, you know, clearly I think everybody's well dressed on the safety of brands on any platform, but I think the safety of consumers on any platform and how we think about their privacy, how we think about their consent and what we do with that, clearly, you know, that is absolutely front and center for us.
Love that. Kim, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the deprecation of cookies is fast-tracking retail media, but I don't think, you know, that is the only reason why retail media exists. I think, you know, if we go back 10 years ago, brands were demanding to get data attributed to the media that they were spending in the retailer's website. So for me, I think, you know, having the capabilities to be able to do that, it is essential to the brands continuing, one, to spend more, but also democratizing it so it opens it up to the long tail.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's always focused on, you know, how the tier one clients feel.
Yeah.
I think the opportunity was always for the smaller brands to start off with. That was kind of like the space that it was moving into. But I think, you know, and as we've evolved, I know Tesco uses the phrase from sofa to store. I always try and change it a little bit and say from couch to checkout, try and match that.
Noted.
But it becomes, you know, the Americans understand it as well when you say couch. But from my point of view, I think, you know, it's utilizing that data so that you can actually be smarter about your communication. You know, from an advertising agency point of view, how can you communicate to that right shopper wherever they are? And I always think, you know, from a cookie point of view, you know, I got married third time, bought a wedding dress. Third time, but for 6 months after that, I'm being followed around, with a wedding dress ad. Well, that was never relevant. So I think now, in the moment, with the data that Dunnhumby have and Tesco have and everybody else, there is the opportunity that you can now not just reach families, but you can reach families who buy or who are lap shoppers of. So it becomes a really rich pool of data that advertisers and brands outside of the retail media ecosystem haven't had the opportunity to reach before. So, I think it's an interesting times.
And hopefully third time lucky.
Well, yeah, it's like 20 years this year. So, this is a keeper.
You're not still being followed with wedding dress?
No, I'm not.
That might worry him.
Yeah, that was 7 years was kind of the thread.
So I'm actually going to ask a couple of quick fire questions for each of you. So Tash, starting with you, and actually probably my favourite topic when it comes to retail media. So as you've talked about, you've recently taken on a new role, leading Dunnhumby and Tesco teams focusing on retail media. How are you shaping your teams and operational structures?
I think the first thing to say when I was thinking about this, not that we've had advance notice of the questions, obviously, when I was thinking about this, it's not new. So this is not a new space. And honestly, when I met Kim earlier and she said, retail media at Tesco 20 years ago and Sal in the audience used to work for me and now works for you. It's been around for a long time. We've been doing retail media as point of sale or kind of the origins of Tesco.com with the same philosophy. Same philosophy. with the same philosophy. I think what's happened is as retailers, you know, kind of broad and wide, look at margins that are challenged, want to strengthen the relationship that they have with their CPGs and change the dynamics of that relationship. And as retail media has kind of really started to grow, I think it's my role is about making sure that we bring the absolute best of Tesco and Dunnhumby to bear for our customers and our CPG partners. And I think it's been a bit separate for a while. You know, you probably wouldn't feel like you spoke to one Tesco team, but like for me, retail media is at its absolute best when it amplifies the things that we're already doing with our supplier partners, whether it's the buy, move, grow, the supplier strategy, all those things. It's there in service of two things: delivering retail growth jointly and brand goals. And when you can deliver those two things, you start to kind of get real magic. And that's what my role's about, really.
And consumer experience, obviously. So, Adam, so delivery probably isn't the first name you think of when you think of a retail media solution. How does Deliveroo define itself, and what do you think sets you apart, differentiates you from everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, clearly we don't operate at the same scale as a Tesco, but like our headlines are pretty exciting to an advertiser. We've got 7 million monthly active users. We've got 185,000-ish restaurant and grocery partners who run our platform internationally, and we run at about 300 million orders per year. And I guess the interesting parts for when we talk to our partners for them are, I guess, a couple of bits. Number one is we're very heavily consumer experience first, which we think is the right way to play, kind of to be sustainable. So we invest like pretty heavily in how we think about our relevancy models, how we help partners kind of have a higher propensity to click, all of that. Mm-hmm. But all of those orders can have an ad attached to them in some form. And we're making sure that we build out like a really nice suite of formats that enable people to engage in the right way. I think the other thing that's interesting is our users are high intent. You know, if you think about your own experience coming to Deliveroo, you're in a moment, you're there, you're ready to order with us. And again, that's pretty appealing. And when we think about the kind of cohorts of our users that we interact with, again, they look pretty interesting to advertisers in the sense of, you know, a lot of families, a lot of professionals, a lot of high potentials, you know, people kind of students and people starting out on their kind of career journeys. So for us, I think the kind of combination of the moments piece that I talked before, which for me, you know, that isn't me being a pretentious marketer, that's, I guess, me articulating what I think is an incremental opportunity in the space, but also the kind of headline scale that we run at and the focus on our consumers just to make sure we've got something that's sustainable for us, sustainable for partners, seems to be pretty interesting right now for
me. Right, Kim, so I find this question interesting. So Paul Longo, GM of Retail Media and Microsoft Advertising, recently described retail media as uncharted territory, and it clearly isn't uncharted territory for you. So what do you think he meant, and what do you make of the path ahead for the industry?
Thanks, Paul. I think Paul's my boss, by the way, so tall guy. But I think there is a, you know, fragmentation is a word that's kind of like overused, but is actually relevant when you think about the retail media space. I think unlike, you know, the world of programmatic that evolved 25 odd years ago, I think we're kind of moving into this space, but there's a bit of friction because as far as I can tell for all the retail conversations and meetings and relationships that we have, everyone is unique. Every retailer is unique. Their set of shoppers are unique to them. They spend an awful lot of money trying to win those customers and they want to keep them and they want to communicate them in a way that works for that retailer. So I mean, we are working with the IAB to, you know, create standards, but standards aren't necessarily going to squeeze in with every retailer because every retailer, they want a different experience. They want to give the shoppers, you know, what they recognise with that retailer. So as a business, you know, we're looking at this thinking, you know, this is kind of like the next wave of, you know, programmatic, but in a retail environment. And how can we help retailers adapt and brands and agencies adapt to those kind of like frustrations? So where we are, and, you know, as I said, I'm managing EMEA, and EMEA, you know, it is quite a vast number of different countries and different maturity levels. You know, obviously, the UK within EMEA is the most mature. But then we look at Germany and they're just coming into this space. So we can't think of a, you know, a tech all-up stack that is going to be relevant for conversations with the likes of Deliveroo and Tesco. What we need to do is to have modular kind of services that can actually enhance what they do today and help to speed up the way that we can, you know, communicate to shoppers and the brands can communicate to shoppers. So I think for what Paul means, you know, in terms of, it's not new, but it's new in the space that we're in today. And I think from our point of view, it's like from a Microsoft, you know, if we think about our ecosystem, we have the acquisition with Xandr a couple of years ago. Yep. So we have the DSP and the SSP side of the business sitting in the retail media division. We have the acquisition of the Promote IQ business from about 4 years ago. So we have this full retail media stack, but now we've got thousands of engineers who are developing services and features. And even in the short time that I've been in Microsoft, I've been blown away about how many new services that we've launched. AI, obviously, is a, you know, it would be remiss of me as Microsoft to talk about that. But we're developing, we sit in the AI division of Microsoft, and we're already building out features that I know are game changers for retailers. To have that experience, to have that relationship, to be able to communicate to that shopper because, I don't know, so-and-so won something in the Olympics yesterday or the weather's crap. Let's talk to the customers about what they can buy today to help solve those problems. Mm-hmm. And I think it's how can we look at their ecosystem and enhance it with what Microsoft does. And we're launching next month. We're actually launching a network model that sits within within the Microsoft ecosystem. So if you think we've got 500,000 advertisers who use Microsoft on a daily basis, how can we enable and make it easier for brands to communicate to shoppers in a retailer environment? And I say retailer, I mean e-commerce environment. So that is a bit of a game changer because that's going to help hopefully cut through that friction. But I think the underlying benefit of retail media is, you know, from a Tesco point of view and a Deliveroo point of view, is how can they enhance the relationship that they have with their suppliers to enable them to communicate to their customers the way they want them to. So I think there's a big world that's going to be changing. And, you know, from our point of view, you know, we're firmly backing retail media. We see that it is part of the future. Be interesting to see kind of like next year, where have we got to?
So I think you're all clearly overperforming on retail media, underperforming on quick fire questions. So
I blame Tash.
So I'm actually going to pick up on your point about fragmentation and there are so many different retail media networks now. And then you look at the kind of financial media networks that we're just seeing with like Chase Media Solutions in the US. So the world is changing. And if anything, for CPG companies, as an example, it's incredibly difficult in order to kind of manage the space. So I think there has to be some element of prioritization there. But I'm just curious in terms of, you already, Kim, talked a little bit about fragmentation, but Tash, Adam, I'd love your perspective on that.
Okay. It's from a measurement point of view, I think I'm very happy that there's a good conversation on that through the sector. I think it's right that we do that. Clearly, if you know we're going to be sat in front of people talking about media choices, if we don't as a retail media sector have a clear point of view on measurement, then that's very hard to kind of punch at your weight in that conversation. So I think that's right. I think the bit which is interesting for us is, I guess, less about how that conversation plays out, although it is very interesting. But the bit which I kind of obsess with is just giving people performance transparency. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody that uses us to sit and think, okay, I've spent X and I don't know what kind of Y came back is.
Yep.
And so that's the piece which we really, really double down on. I think the bit for us which is interesting is we have to think about quite a wide spectrum of use cases for that performance transparency. So on the one hand, we'll have the kind of McDonald's and Unilevers of the world who have, you know, some very specific asks, quite rightly, and we have to double down there in terms of, you know, kind of raw data and bespoke measurement with them, and we're moving that way. But all the way down to, I don't know, you know, your favorite local Detroit pizza restaurant or your local specialist wine store, where quite rightly you want them focusing on their dough and their craft and the selection of great wines they've got. They might not have people there who are focused on how they think about their marketing, how they think about their measurement. So for that, we have to also think about transparency and what that means for them and how we make things really intuitive and self-serve.
Love that.
We kind of think about that quite wide.
Anything to add?
I'm not sure I do have anything to add. I mean, I think everybody talks about, as you say, fragmentation, and there's no doubt at some point in this industry there's going to be some convergence of some kind, because we're saying it's not new, but we're at the start of the kind of big wave of growth of this, I would say. And so it will become complex and more complex and confusing. So of course the kind of the measurement side of that is really critical to have standardization. But I also think it's easy to think of retail media as shopper, and it's held in different pots in the CPGs, isn't it? So I think there's going to be standardization and convergence both within the retail media networks, but also within the CPGs.
I agree.
Need to think about how they're structured, who holds the budget. And we've got to kind of lift ourselves out of disparate inventory types into connected campaigns. And so I think that kind of the future of that is kind of two or three different levels to it. But fully expect to see some form of convergence at some point in the not too distant future. So moving
fingers crossed.
From kind of platforms to networks.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Okay. So we're short on time. So a couple of final questions. Definitely quick fire. Could you give everyone in the audience here one key piece of advice when it comes to thinking like a media owner?
My first piece of advice would be customer first. I think a customer first, and in retail media, you are not building a standalone media company. You are building a company that leverages first party data, the vision of the company, of the retailer that you're part of. And if it's any retailer worth its salt, they will think first about the customer experiences, and you have therefore got a lot of rules around what you can and can't do. Think customer first, think first party data, and you won't go far wrong, I don't think.
Great answer.
I was going to say customer first, but I'll say something else. No, it's fine. I find it interesting that when we talk about retail media, we get, like, quite rightly, we dive right into all the things that differentiate it from other media channels. So the data. But one conversation we rarely have, and I think this would be my advice, is we don't talk about creative effectiveness and how you think about that through a channel like retail media. And I think about in my own kind of brand building work, you know, we push so hard on creative effectiveness, and then actually in this conversation, maybe we don't talk about it enough. So I think that's a big thing. I hope that when we talk in a few more years, that will be a big part of the conversation.
Anything to add?
No, nothing else to add, really. I think we haven't talked about omnichannel. I think omnichannel is absolutely the future. I think don't just look at shopper, retail media as a
media,
a transactional piece. It's a brand communication. We've seen so many case studies, and I'm sure they exist in Tesco and Deliveroo, where drive brand awareness, you can communicate to the shopper wherever she is within that website. But at that point where she wants to click on the ad, that ad has actually helped increase that click. So I think don't look at it as a means of driving transactions. It is much more than that.
Yeah.
I
could ask, and we're pretty much out of time. I could ask another question about can retail media drive brand awareness, but we're going to save that for another time.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. I knew that'd be the answer. I'd love to dive in more, but unfortunately, we're out of time. So I'm going to end by saying a massive thank you to our panelists, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.